So we're pleased to welcome to the program today Republican U.S. Senate candidate Kevin O'Connor to chat with us a little bit about himself, his background, and his goals and ambitions for the future. So, Kevin, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, and thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. I think it might be news to a lot of folks, myself included, that there is actually a Republican race for the seat currently held by the incumbent, Ed Markey.
Yes, well, my job is to bring that to everyone's attention. We're working hard to do that.
Sure. When did you actually launch your campaign?
In February.
Okay, and tell us a little bit about what led to that decision.
So I am I'm a father of four kids, and my children range from 26 to 9. So I have a fourth grader and I have an eighth grader, and my background also includes, I'm a lawyer. So I've been a lawyer for 30 years in Massachusetts. I went to BC Law, and I've worked with a lot of small businesses and technology companies, family owned businesses. And in addition, I've had a chance to do tenants cases, an immigration case, a wrongful conviction, a case where I represented a wrongfully convicted person. And so I've seen the law across a number of different areas and fields, and I've seen how the law and regulation can pass by the Senate and Congress can affect people. And I've gotten involved because I'm a concerned father and a concerned American. And I feel like the approach of the career politicians is counterproductive. It's not worthy of what the people in Massachusetts are offering to the world and to the economy. And I think we can do much better if we have people who are focused on making sure that laws are applied evenly, that they're clear, that they're understandable, and that they serve the everyday interests of the people in Massachusetts. And I think our career politicians have completely gotten away from those concepts and those principles, and we can do a better job with a citizen legislature, or citizen legislator. And Quincy obviously has a great history of citizens who stepped up and changed the world. And I'm hoping that I don't know if I can do quite as well as your namesakes, but I think we can do a lot better in terms of our contribution to the Senate, and I hope to be able to do that.
Is this your first run at elective office?
Yes, it is.
And I know you've kind of taken a pledge, if you will, about adhering to term limits. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, so I have pledged to serve two terms, which would be 12 years, which is a good long time, and we can get a lot done during that time. I think that that there ought to be term limits, just as there are for the president. There should be term limits in the legislature. The career politicians and the entrenched interests end up serving their own perpetual reelection, and laws tend to be skewed toward more entrenched interests, including lobbying interests and big corporate interests that are detached from the well-being of everyday people. So I think we'd be much better served with a citizen legislature, and term limits is the way to achieve that.
Did you grow up in Massachusetts? What's a little bit about your past background before your law experience?
So I had a nomadic childhood. My mom and dad are both from Queens in New York. My dad grew up in a one-bedroom apartment, one of four kids born during the Depression. And my mom is also from Queens. And we lived mainly in the New York area for most of my childhood. I lived a little while in Illinois. But I moved six times growing up. So I was always the new kid in school. And I have great empathy for people who are new arrivals anywhere and who are trying to break into a scene. And I'm drawing on those skills as I try to break into the political scene here in Massachusetts. I moved here the day I graduated from high school, and my first job was as a graveyard shift dishwasher at a Howard Johnson's on 128, which was my first summer, which was 1980.
And since then, have you just always worked in law, or did you have other backgrounds as well?
Well, I did. I had a couple of years between, I went to college at Trinity in Connecticut, and then I did a couple of years working, and then went to law school. I'm at BC Law, as I mentioned. And then I've worked in Massachusetts since 1989. So I started law school at BC Law in 1986, and I've been here as an attorney since 1989. Although I am a full-time candidate, I have a law firm, but I'm on leave from all my cases, or I've withdrawn from all my cases and left my law firm.
I see. So this is your 100% push right now. Do you know you're facing a heavily Democratic state and legislature? Does that concern you or deter you at all?
No. So Massachusetts, if you look at the voting block and how people are registered, it's about 10% Republican. It's about 37%, I think, Democrat. And then the majority of the state is independents. And those independent voters historically have been swing voters. I think five of our last six governors have been Republican. Senator Brown did win. So Republicans can win in Massachusetts. And I think the climate is right. This is the type of climate where Republicans can win. And I think it's a very winnable election. It's obviously a tall order, and I don't mean to be suggesting anything other than that, but it's very winnable.
How would you kind of describe yourself, Kevin, when it comes to issues, social justice and economics? I'm a conservative, liberal, somewhere in between. You know, what's kind of your platform, if you will?
I am someone who believes in public safety and the rule of law fairly applied, and that includes the constitutional rights, due process, equal protection, all of that. So my belief is that the government should do what it's supposed to do and do it well and with energy and purpose and fairness and inclusion. And so I support defending the police, not defunding them. I think there are areas where policing can improve, just as any field can improve. And Senator Scott offered a bill that I think would have been very constructive for the U.S. Senate to take up. Senator Markey blocked even debating that bill, which I think was an enormous mistake. This year, it would have been a beautiful thing for the United States Senate to debate for 20 hours how we can address issues of that nature, and that could have all been public on television. The whole country would have been watching. Senator Block and Markey blocked even the debate of that bill, which I think was very unfortunate and characteristic of what we see from career politicians. But so I care about the rule of law. I care about social justice. And I've been working on social justice issues for the last 20 years. I was the first diversity and inclusion coordinator of one of the largest law firms in Boston almost 20 years ago. And I was a co-founder of two different organizations, or a founding member of two different organizations that focused on increasing diversity and inclusion in the Boston legal community. So as I mentioned, I've represented a wrongfully convicted person who spent 20 years in jail for crimes that he didn't commit. And I was named the Attorney of the Year by the Massachusetts Tenants Association for a case brought against one of the worst slumlords in Boston. So I care deeply about those issues. But my focus is on making sure that government does, as I said, what it's supposed to do, and does it well, and does it even-handedly, and with fairness and justice for all. And then in terms of economics, I'm a conservative. I think I'm the only pro-capitalist in the whole field, frankly, or certainly in comparison to my Democrat opponents, who believe in a government-dominated economy. Both of the Democrats, neither Democrat has ever worked a day in his adult life in the private sector, and they govern like that. I have spent most of my career and I've spent my entire legal career in the private sector, although doing public interest type work along the way. But I think it brings a very different perspective. They pass laws and they approve regulations, and then I think they have neglected the weight and burden of those laws and regulations on everyday people and everyday businesses and the family-owned businesses that make Massachusetts great. I am someone who's helped clients navigate through those challenges, and I appreciate the weight and effect that those burdens have on businesses. And I'll be going to Washington to help them and to try to create jobs for everybody.
How would you kind of rate the way the current administration and Congress has dealt with the pandemic? And, you know, if you are elected, we'll still be in the midst of a pandemic. How would you deal with that issue?
Well, so my approach on the pandemic is that we want to open safely and we want to open as quickly as possible. My mindset would be that we don't know whether we'll ever have a cure or we'll ever have an effective vaccine. That's not certain. So we need to begin with that worst case scenario. In the private sector, you would say, okay, what do we know for sure? And that's what we know for sure. And so we need to be opening our businesses and our schools with safe practices that accept that possibility as a reality. And then at the same time, we need to be, and I think the administration's done well with this, is accelerating with the private sector the as rapidly as possible the development of cures and treatments that will hopefully bring this thing under control and get us back to the real normal. And I'm optimistic that can happen, but we need to do everything we can to accelerate that. And that, I think, again, drives home a big difference between my campaign and my opponents. My campaign is focused on promoting innovation and investment to cure the world and create brighter futures. And I believe my opponents are really indifferent to supporting innovation and investment and are always oriented toward just heaping more burdens and more regulations on without regard to the consequences.
When it comes to the Affordable Care Act and Medicare for All, where do you stand on that, Kevin?
I'm against Medicare for All, and there is really a bipartisan consensus that Medicare for All is completely unaffordable. Joe Biden, who's likely to be the Democratic nominee for president, has said it's completely unaffordable. It's an unacceptable solution. So the notion that we have two Senate candidates that are still advocating that is, I think, quite alarming. And again, on a bipartisan basis, it's been recognized that it's completely unaffordable. With respect to the Affordable Care Act, the fundamental thing that we need to make sure is that pre-existing conditions are covered. That any plan really needs to have an assurance for people that they can get health care coverage at affordable rates. In Massachusetts, we cover 97% of our people. So we have a good plan that other states can adopt, and I would encourage that. And then in terms of driving down the costs, I think there's an enormous amount that we can do to drive down costs. We have a real lack of price transparency. There are a lot of middlemen, middle people, in the healthcare markets that drive costs up and don't contribute a lot. So we want to promote transparency, competition across state lines. And then two other areas where I'll really place a lot of emphasis is on general wellness. I think our concept of healthcare has to just be much broader, that we need to be promoting diet, immune system health, things of that nature, things that have been ridiculed in the past that really are critical to making sure that we get good health outcomes. And the same thing with mental health. For too long, there's been, and it's getting much better, but there's been, I think, a sense that bodily health, physical health that you can see or touch is different than mental health. And what we really know is that there's a direct connection, that a lot of our that anxiety or depression or mental health issues can manifest themselves in terms of substance abuse, substance addiction, weight gain, diabetes, and so it's all connected. And I will be an advocate at all times for making sure that we're doing everything we can to promote the wellness and comprehensive health of the people of Massachusetts.
When it comes to foreign relations, Kevin, you know, what is kind of your position? Global trade, for instance, is that something that you're in favor of?
Fair trade, yes. So I believe we live in a world, and our fates are tied together to some extent. But it's important for nations to be sovereign and to stick up for their people. So I support fair trade. I support the efforts to make sure that our trading agreements are fair to our workers. And I want jobs to be brought home. And that's another example where I'm different from the Democrat opponents. The United States, Mexico, Canada free trade agreement was renegotiated from NAFTA. NAFTA was a bad deal. And it was renegotiated. Senator Warren voted for it. Nancy Pelosi voted for it. Chuck Schumer voted for it. The New York Times said it was the most worker favorable trade agreement ever negotiated. Ed Markey and Joe Kennedy voted against it. And so they're really, I think, on the way out of the mainstream on those fundamental worker rights and protections and trade focuses that will help create jobs. I'm supportive of that bill and of that approach.
Another issue that's kind of gotten kicked to the sidelines recently due to the pandemic is immigration and immigration reform. You said yourself you're used to being the newcomer. So how do you feel about the country's current policies and what changes would you propose?
I believe that this is a nation of immigrants, and I identify as an immigrant. My family came here from Ireland I don't think they had asylum status, but a lot of O'Connors and O'Briens came because of the potato famine, you know, and so I think that the United States has benefited enormously from immigration, but we need to enforce our immigration laws, and we need to do it. We need to make sure that our laws are clear and that we are doing what we are saying we're going to do in our laws. For too long, we've had almost this dual policy where our laws say don't come, but we're kind of waving people in. And that's really unhealthy. It causes people to take risks with their lives and to come into situations that are not in their best interests and not in the best interests of the country. So I think that we need to enforce our immigration laws. And then in terms of immigration reform, which I do favor, I feel like our Congress and our Senate have been too focused on trying to get a comprehensive immigration reform bill through. And I don't think that's ever going to happen. What I would favor is a one step at a time coalition of the willing, if you will. And for example, say DACA, that's something where there is pretty much bipartisan consensus. Rather than trying to do a comprehensive bill, just get that passed. And then our senators and representatives can see how that feels. And then we move to the next bill and the next bill. But I think we can, if we handle it that way, we can make much more progress. But we have to enforce our immigration laws, and my Democrat opponents favor full legalization and voting rights for people who are here illegally. And they have recently, this year, 2020, both advocated for that and in specific legislation. And I'm against it. I believe that we enforce our laws, and we have to remember we've got, I think, close to 40 million Americans who are unemployed. our people, our responsibility, and we can't take care of them right now. We're running deficits to take care of people who are American citizens. So the notion that we would be adding tens of millions of more people to our voting rolls and to our public, our safety nets is just unacceptable. We can't afford it. These are bills that will be passed on to our children. And so the responsible path forward is to take care of the American citizens and to enforce the laws purposefully and with clarity. And it doesn't need to be wrathful, doesn't need to be harsh, but we need to enforce the laws as written.
Do you think the U.S.-Mexico border wall is a good idea?
I favor border security. And so, that in some places that may be a wall, in some places that may be technology. But if that's what's needed to secure the border, then we have to secure our borders. And I would point out the United States Congress, so Senator Markey and Congressman Kennedy go to work, and they don't have open borders in the United States Congress. You and I can't just walk into their offices without going to a checkpoint. And in fact, they have a checkpoint and they have armed people there. And there's if that's what Congress requires for itself, if that's what Ed Markey and Joe Kennedy want for their workplace, and they require it as a matter of law for their workplace, then how can that not be good enough for the American people and for our country? I believe our country is more important than the United States Congress. Congress is an institution that's supposed to serve our country. But the way they behave on this issue and countless others is as though Congress is more important than America and the American people. And that's wrong, and I will change that as a senator.
So how will you tap on your background to kind of reach across party lines, if you will, and come to some kind of consensus? There's such division in Washington right now. You know, are you daunted by that?
No, I'm motivated by that, and I recognize that it will be difficult. But we've already seen in this election year how I can work on a bipartisan basis. I'm not sure if you followed the ballot access process, but this year, between the middle of February and May 2nd, as a U.S. Senate candidate, I was required to get 10,000 handwritten signatures in order to get on the ballot under Massachusetts law. So you can't do e-signatures, and it's 10,000 signatures. And that was in the middle of the pandemic. So it was impossible, and it was impossible for all candidates up and down the ballot who have similar requirements at different levels, depending on the size of the district or county that each candidate would be representing. And so I wrote the legend. My dad came down with COVID-19. And spent 9 days in the hospital. He almost died of it. He's 86 years old. He lives with my mom, who's 82, and she was my most prolific signature gatherer. And so I in March wrote the legislature a letter and asked them to adjust the signature requirements because of the shutdowns were going to make it impossible for candidates to both be safe and advance democracy and pursue candidacies. And the Massachusetts state legislature ignored me completely. They didn't even give me the courtesy of a reply. So I got together with two Democrat candidates, one a congressional candidate and a state legislative candidate. And we brought a lawsuit on an emergency basis before the Supreme Judicial Court in Massachusetts on behalf of all candidates. And we asked the court to either strike down the requirement or to modify it to allow for electronic signatures and to reduce the number of signatures for each office. And we won. We went in there and we on a bipartisan basis, and we prevailed. So it can be done. I have a record of doing it. I have a record 30 years as a lawyer working with people to try to make a more inclusive community. And I'm prepared to do it through fighting, litigation, deals, however, but I will always be focused, as I was taught at Boston College Law School, I'll always be client focused. And if I'm elected, my clients will be the people of Massachusetts, and I will serve them tirelessly and work with anyone and everyone who will advance our interests as a state and our interests as a country.
How do you feel about the mail-in ballot process this year and the president's suggestion to possibly delay the election?
I don't think the election will be delayed, and I don't see a reason for that. I think that statement was more directional, but in any event, I want the election on November 3rd. I said to someone this morning, my wife will kill me if it's on November 4th or beyond. So it'll happen on November 3rd. I firmly stand in support of that. I don't think there's any real controversy over that. In terms of mail-in voting, I understand why it was passed. I think it's fraught with enormous risk, and it's incumbent upon all of us as citizens to make sure that it's done fairly. It places an enormous burden on our town clerks and our government, and it's been passed, I think, very hastily, and that's unfortunate. But that is the system we have, and what I want our citizens to do, and I hope all Americans, is to make sure that it's done fairly, have people abide by the law. It's election, fraudulent election voting is a felony. It's a really bad crime, and there are severe penalties associated with it. So anyone out there who would ever think of it, I would be making a huge mistake, I think. But I hope that people won't be doing it, and I hope that all of us can be focused on doing the right thing in the best interests of our country and our democracy in this challenging year.
If you are elected, Kevin, how do you plan to kind of stay in touch with your constituents?
I'll be back every weekend. So I'm a worker. As I said, I'm the second of six kids. So I love being around people. I love Massachusetts. I have two kids. I have a fourth grader and eighth grader. I will not have a home in Washington. I will not be relocating my family. They'll be here, and I'll be back every weekend as a father and as a public servant. And I will work tirelessly to I think the reason for government is to serve the people and to improve the lives of here, the people of Massachusetts. And so that's my job. It's not to go off and argue about abstract points on a federal level. So I'll be back every weekend and visiting with people all the time. And I'll put together a great staff. I'm optimistic about that.
Anything else you'd like to add today?
Well, so I know that I'm a new face, and I would ask people to I know everyone recognizes this is a critical election, and I would ask people to please look at my website. It's KOC for FORSenate.com. So KOC for Senate.com. I will be the candidate who will be fighting for you, for public safety, for inclusion, for markets that are free market capitalist economics that will create jobs for everyone and promote the kind of innovation and creativity that Massachusetts does better than anywhere in the world, and that will create a brighter future for our children. So thank you so much for having me today.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Hopefully we can do it again, maybe in person in the near future, depending on what the pandemic holds. I hope your dad's doing better.
Thank you. And one last thing, could I make one last? So the primary is September 1st.
Yes.
And there's early voting. So if people could please vote in, if you're a Republican or if you're an independent, you can vote in the Republican primary. And I would be so grateful for people's support.
Very good. All right. Nice to see you, Kevin. Thanks for your time.
Oh, thank you. It was great talking to you. I really appreciate you having me. And I hope we can get back on soon.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.